Hi, I'm Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm Steven Jondrew, and we're from Better Podcasting, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of the individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to the best audio newspaper in superhero land, the Starling Tribune. I am the chief editor, Mr. Stargate Pioneer. My friends call me SP. And your reporters for this special winter edition hiatus episode of the Starling Tribune, covering episode 3 of season 2 of the DC's Legends of Tomorrow, are Chris.
Tell that to Chuck Norris.
And Neil.
It's like Ninja 3, the domination. I love ninjas.
And Michelle.
Everyone just shut up and let me do the flying.
Oh, what a great episode. Can't wait to talk about it. This podcast is recorded live on Thursday, January 19th, 2017 on the Gunna Geek Network and on www.geeks.live. And we are all a bunch of comic book enthusiasts, right, Chris?
Marvel can kiss my tuchus right now.
And Neil?
The current Superman arc on DC Rebirth is awesome.
And I bet you Michelle's going to say something about Aquaman.
He's actually still cool.
Whoa,
I can't
believe I just said that
sentence.
Still?
Still.
He got cool. Hey guys, since Arrow is in its winter hiatus, we'll be discussing the Legends of Tomorrow, Season 2, Episode 3. And as always, we'll be covering the highlights of the news, interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the last week that could include details about future episodes of Arrow, The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, and Constantine.
And just a fair warning, dear listener, there's a lot of discussions and speculation we'll have in this show that touches on a lot of interviews that with the showrunners have given and articles that have been put out about the show. So even if we're throwing out some wild speculation, we might actually be right. So consider yourself warned of possible accidental spoilers too.
And speaking of spoilers, sometimes we geek out and talk about this week's DC Comics, especially weeks where Green Arrow has dropped. So you'll be warned, there could be a comic book spoiler out there, but we promise we'll try our best not to ruin anything.
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. If you like our content, why don't you swing by our podcast network home at GunnaGeek.com, where you can find all of our past shows, plus a ton of other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles, all under the Gunna Geek Productions banner.
Thanks, guys! Now that we've gotten the preliminaries out of the way, let's start on the episode. Michelle or Neil? Who's going to break it down for me today?
I think I'll take the director. How about that?
Yeah, let's do that one.
Because, see, last night I was a consultant on the podcast Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., and he directed that episode we discussed. So the director of Shogun, which is the third episode of season 2, which aired October 27, 2016, Kevin Takeron. He did 8 Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., 1 episode of Legends, 1 episode of Arrow, 2 of The Flash, and 1 Supergirl.
And the writers for this episode were Phil Klemmer, a common name if you've been listening to this podcast or a fan of the show. He's done 7 episodes of Legends of Tomorrow, 3 of Forever, and 12 of Chuck. The co-writer was Grain Godfrey, who did 6 episodes of Legends of Tomorrow, 6 of The Flash, and 1 teleplay for Arrow.
That's right. Just one step back to Kevin Tankeron. His name might be familiar to you, not only for his own work, but his sister is the showrunner of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yep, Melissa, take her on. So there you go. That's what the name is. And the creative team for this episode, I'm still having fun with Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. I know it doesn't stop till the mid-season hiatus because that's where we're at in the live viewing right now. I am enjoying it. And these people, Kevin, Phil, and Godfrey, they all were responsible for just a great episode. One that we gained so much and we lost so much and we had fun. We had ninjas. It was all great. And it was so great, by the way, that it received pretty good ratings. The live plus the 7 in the DVR is what they call it, 2.71, which for a CW show ain't that shabby. It competed with that same week with Flash, which got 4.71, which is phenomenal, and Supergirl coming off of its CW transition from CBS at 4.03. So coming off that sub 2 ratings that they had at the end of last season, they have 2.71 and rising for the rest of this season. It's been awesome. So that's your ratings for the week. And now let's get to the theme, Neil.
Well, the episode was titled Shogun, and as you can guess, this episode takes place in feudal Japan. It was all about the lord of that region where the legends find themselves. He was the hereditary commander-in-chief, so nothing too cryptic in the episode title this week. The plot was all dealing with how you come into your own and what it really means to be a hero. And when we talk about Rey later on, we're going to figure out how that suit of armor plays into this whole theme of being a shogun or a samurai warrior.
Samurai.
Ninjas are better, man. I love ninjas.
Chris, help me define the difference between a samurai and a ninja.
Ninjas are stealthy. You never see them coming.
Yeah, shoguns have a code of honor. They're out there. They have rituals and they write poetry and all that type of stuff. Maybe ninjas write poetry as well, but, you know, samurai are more known for that.
You're going to fight a samurai face to face with honor and distinction. A ninja is going to kill you when you're not paying attention, potentially, because they're stealthy.
The samurai is kind of like the medieval knight, and instead of living by the code of chivalry, they lived by the code of Bushido, which encapsulated many of the same characteristics. So yeah, they're not going to sneak up and stab you like a ninja would, which is kind of cool.
But we did have both in this episode. We had samurais and we had ninjas.
And the ninjas were better.
Yes, we did.
And we've established that Mick is a ninja.
That is true.
He's got a thing for ninjas.
Just because he dressed up like one for like 5 minutes doesn't make him a ninja. No.
Oh, he's also got a ninja throwing star.
Yeah, see?
He's a souvenir thanks to Vixen. And if anyone is a ninja, it is Sarah.
Sarah is the ninja, exactly.
Yeah, I love that line, you know, League of Assassins, Class of 09. You know, she's our certified ninja. Mick is a fan.
He's an enthusiast.
Is she really a ninja? Because she's really an assassin. There's a difference between a ninja and an assassin.
Yeah, but her skills are more of those of a ninja than an assassin, too.
Fair.
Infiltration, stealth, sneak around. Oh, you're dead. You didn't hear me coming. And then if she has to, just go kick a bunch of ass.
So this episode had somebody else in Rey's suit. And to date, I think he's been the only one in the suit, right? I don't remember anybody else in the suit.
I'm trying to remember Felicity.
Felicity. Wasn't Felicity?
Yeah.
Felicity was in the suit.
Yeah.
So you would think he would have learned from that and put some biological locks on the suit so nobody else could use it but him.
Some kind of Tony Stark he is. Tony Stark at least locks his down like that.
Yeah.
It's Rey. I've lost count of how many times he's lost the suit because he technically lost it last week with the Nazis. He got taken in that suit. Technically, he lost possession of it then and he lost it last season. He needs to take better care of that thing. I mean, he's all like, my suit is everything. Am I anything without my suit? And it's like, well, take better care of it.
Maybe his superpower is the fact that he can find the suit again.
Maybe he just needs some backup suits. I mean, Tony Stark has how many suits of Iron Man armor? A lot.
That Dark Star alloy, that's hard to come by.
Until it conveniently happens 2 episodes from now. Oh, look what we found. Dark Star alloy. And you're like, huh. I guess he needed his costume back for the crossover. Sorry, I'm a cynic.
It's okay. I know we really never have talked about how Ray got his suit back. We'll eventually do that.
It's magic.
Magic. It's plot because plot, to steal Neil's line.
But even though he lost his suit, Ray had his moments. He did fight his way out of that cell, and he did pick up a sword and try to fight the Shogun and stuff. So he had his moments.
He got another pretty cool suit of armor near the end of this one. So that was pretty awesome.
It's where he evolves to realize, you know what? The armor doesn't make me what I am. It's the brain. It's the heart. It's the spirit willing to do all of those things. The armor helps with that. But Rey's a hero, whether he's in the armor or not. And he finally seems to come to that realization, at least a little bit at the end of this episode, because, what's the father's name? I cannot remember his name. Ichiro, I think, something like that, is the one that basically kind of beats that into him almost. Not like literally beating, because that wouldn't have been cool, but...
Talking about literally beating, there's a lot of fights in this episode. We get Rey and... We'll just call him Steel right now, because we don't have another name for him. But we have Rey and Steel going at it just in training on board...
That's not really a fight. That's two boys trying to hit each other. You know, what's interesting in this episode, this is Rey learning how to live without the armor, Nate trying to learn how to activate his armor. And in order to help him, the boys go into the cargo hold and decide to play around, which of course causes an accident because they're boys.
It's like when you're a young boy and you're like tensing your stomach muscles and you're like telling your friend, okay, hit me again. That's exactly what they were doing, except with repulsor rays or a solid light rays.
I triple dog dare you.
It's exactly what they were doing.
Yeah, but Ray's tongue didn't end up on the frozen flagpole.
No, they got ejected into the time stream. That's worse.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the tongue on the frozen flagpole is pretty bad.
They could have laid it in the middle of a volcano and then shot their eyes out.
Shot their eyes. Okay. We're beyond Christmas now. Chris, what's another fight that you liked in the episode?
All of Sarah's fights. Getting to see her fight with two swords. How cool was that?
And a dagger. She won with the dagger.
That's true. I mean, but we got kind of a preview of, well, not a preview. Afterwards, Katie Lotz showed off on Instagram some of her training with the two swords. Awesome. It is just awesome getting to see Sarah wielding two samurai swords and just being a badass.
I follow Katie Lotz on Instagram. It is awesome seeing her workout, seeing her have fun, seeing the training, seeing them having fun on set. If you want to follow one of these actors that is worthwhile, Katie Lotz is probably at the top of anybody's list of people to follow.
Well, and watching Sarah and Vixen fight together, that was probably the highlight for me. When the two of them were back to back in that village. Wow. And we've talked about this in the last episode that we know Vixen is one badass martial artist as well. Seeing her and Sarah take on all those samurai. Yeah. I want more of that later this season. I want more of that.
Their backs to each other in their ninja poses or the samurai poses, whatever. They're ready to fight pose surrounded by samurai. That was awesome. Indeed. It was awesome even better when she turned into... The gorilla seems to be her go-to animal.
It's pretty good brute strength if you think about it.
Maybe it's just because they don't want to do any more CGI.
R.I.P. Harambe.
Too soon.
Oh, gosh.
I'm wondering if they're reusing any of that animation for Grodd.
That's interesting. I don't know.
Maybe it is Grodd.
Yeah, maybe that's the ghost of Grodd.
Or we see Vixen v. Grodd later this season. Yeah?
Sure. I like it.
Reuse those assets.
That's right. And, of course, Steel defeats the Shogun, and the suit goes bye-bye. But Steel gets his steel on again. Nate gets his steel on again. And he is pretty much done with those performance issues. And he didn't even have to take a little blue pill to do it.
No, he just had to wait until the lady was in trouble.
At the very end. Yep.
Yeah, the heck with Ray. Let him get his butt kicked.
Yeah. Well, you know, Ray fighting the Shogun with the sword and him knowing exactly where to strike the atom armor was pretty damn cool. He's like, I just took that out. That's heating. Trust me, it's going to get warm in there. Oh, I just took out the articulator for that joint. You know, you're not going to be able to move that. And he knows the armor. He knows exactly what's going on. So that was actually one of the highlights for me as well.
It was, and it kind of makes you realize that for as powerful as that armor is, it's also kind of fragile at the same time.
Yeah, it is, because it's constantly being broken, taken apart, lost. Yeah, the armor is not a end-all be-all, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we all knew he was eventually going to get an Adam suit 2.0. We didn't know how long it was going to take, and part of me was kind of disappointed when we did see it, spoiler, in the crossover when he's got his Adam suit back. It really hadn't evolved that much, it didn't seem like.
Yeah, I expected it to be a lot more streamlined and skinny down to move more in the direction of the traditional Adam, now that we have somebody that's armored on the team. But I think it's identical, which is good, because it means I don't have to buy a second Funko Pop of the Adam.
Not yet.
Not yet. Yeah, give it time.
Maybe it looks the same, but it's a software upgrade.
It comes with a paperclip.
Yeah, I mean, there's tons of software upgrades. I mean, yeah, it's what happens.
Ray, it looks like you're trying to shrink. Would you like some help with that?
Damn you, Clippy! I hate that thing so much.
Oh my gosh, but you realize we're probably the last generation that knows about Clippy.
Good.
And everything. There's going to be young people out there like, what are these old people talking about? It's like, okay, children, go to Google and Google Clippy Microsoft Word. Then you'll learn.
Oh, Clippy was fun. Clippy reminded me of those Saturday morning cartoons and the educational things that they put in there, like Schoolhouse Rock and stuff like that. That's what Clippy was. Clippy was the ultimate Schoolhouse Rock.
Hey, back to the episode. We got more time travel. Now, I don't know about you, but randomly jumping out into the time stream from the Wave Rider seems like a bad idea. And just jumping out to try to follow somebody as they're falling out seems like a worse idea.
If you are not made of metal or have a metal exoskeleton around you, you are going to die when you hit the ground.
How did those guys breathe while they were falling through the time stream, which I don't think is oxygenated?
I think, didn't Adam retrofit his suit to have a little oxygen in it after he had to go outside the hull to fix it?
Yeah.
Yep.
He's got the Batman chin space.
He's got a clear thing, I think.
But it stops like here.
Force fields.
Okay, force fields.
It's always force fields.
All right, I'll take the L on that one. It's force fields.
The L?
I'm taking the loss.
The new Adam suit in DC Rebirth has a full face mask to deal with that, Chris. So
nice.
Your criticisms are noted.
I was a little confused because the Wave Rider stayed in the time stream while Sarah, Mick, and Vixen went down to 1841 Japan. How did that happen? Did they take the little shuttle? Is that how they got back and forth?
Yeah, they had to take the shuttle because the Wave Rider was too damaged, I think, to do a time jump was the takeaway.
Okay.
They're an away team. They take the shuttle. That's just the way it works.
Well, no. Away teams take transporters.
Or shuttles. There are plenty of times. And of course, it is an official away team because the captain went.
The captain is not supposed to go on an away team. It's supposed to be the second in command. You don't put your guy in command on in danger's path. That's just, or gal. It's just not how it's supposed to work.
Unless they want to.
Well, talking about Star Trek, because that's what we're alluding to, Jax, did you hear his techno mumbo jumbo on how he was trying to repair the Wave Rider as it was damaged at the beginning? Well, I got to reroute the manifolds to the core and stuff. That was straight out of Star Trek.
And he's got it down, too. You know, Rip taught him to know every inch of that ship, and he knows every inch of that ship.
Now he does. He didn't know before this episode. He didn't. There's a whole compartment he had no idea about. If you're supposed to know the whole ship, you would think you would know that there is a missing space that you know nothing about.
But he figured it out when Gideon gave him the number of compartments. He's like, bing, that's one more than I was taught.
But it took Stein to actually find it through the blueprints.
But that's not uncommon. It's a sci-fi trope. They did it in Babylon 5. They've done it in some other space-based shows that are slipping me for the moment. But it's not unheard of to have your magic hidden deck on board a ship.
Star Trek didn't have a hidden deck.
They might have.
They had areas down the Jeffries tubes that nobody ever went. That's the same thing.
I think Deep Space Nine had something like that. But I mean, remember, there was a whole level on Babylon 5 that didn't technically exist. There's an entire episode about it. in the Brown Sector.
I haven't seen it. It's one of those that I keep meaning to get to.
I quit.
No, I'm kidding. It's well documented that there was a period of time between college and when I finally got cable that I just didn't have the ability to watch sci-fi. Matter of fact, it was the end of TNG until BSG, basically, was my dearth of sci-fi. And Babylon 5 fit right in there.
And that compartment that they find, getting back to time travel, it actually has all these different weapons and everything. And they find a message from Barry Allen from the future about something. We don't learn really this episode what it is.
You mean Barry Allen with a cold?
Well, it's older Barry Allen.
Hey, guys, it's Barry Allen. Rip, don't tell your team this, but I got a cold and I messed up again.
Can you send me some Dayquil?
We've run out of Dayquil in 2056.
Oh, Barry.
And I'm too sick to run back in time and get some. Because I'd probably screw it up if I did. Sorry.
Here's the big question. How badly did they mess the time stream up by doing everything they did in feudal Japan? Like, seriously, they have to have messed things up. He's noted for killing his wives. They saved a wife. There's a guy in silver messing up the entire hierarchy of what's going on in that part of Japan. Things are seriously messed up.
Nate kept telling her about the future. He let go Master Yoda. Yeah, you're right. I think this is one of the ones that we're supposed to say, nothing matters here.
Yeah, if it wasn't for like Sarah with the swords and the growth of Rey and everything, because the Nate stuff, it's the whole white savior trope and the fall in love with the woman who's going to get married to the bad guy the next day trope. And it's like, oh, but if it wasn't for everything else, I wouldn't have liked the episode. Fortunately, everything else works.
Oh, I thought this was the episode version of The Last Samurai.
No. Back to time travel for a sec. My theory is that there are people who are never being born. Like, they're like, oh, we didn't mess anything up. But I guarantee if you pulled a Barry and went to Japan, everything is different. Everything's different.
Well, Legends of Tomorrow is there to fix the timeline. Barry Allen is there to screw everything up.
It is a good point because the family is Yamashiro, who is tied to the brothers who fought for the woman who becomes Katana. So it's one of those things. Did they aid in the birth of those sons eventually who fought for her? Or could they have interrupted that? Or okay, now we're thinking, once we start thinking about this show, our brains hurt.
Don't do that. That's dangerous.
It's very dangerous.
I love time travel.
But yeah, I mean, but still, you know, you had a Shogun wearing the suit, you had the silver guy. Yeah, they're kind of not following their rules.
Sarah's kind of making up the rules as she goes, right? Because she's now the leader and she has to instill discipline in her crew, and she sets Mick and Vixen in their places, mostly Mick though, saying, I will strand you in the time frame of my choosing together. And that really hurts Mick. He's like, she's gonna do it, and it's happened to me before, and I don't like her, so I'm going to do what Sarah tells me to do. Sarah actually took charge. I liked it.
And we touched on her line of, I'm basically a ninja, which is awesome, because she is.
So Ray Palmer is now sensei, right?
Well, sensei light. Junior sensei.
He's like the older brother.
Michelle made a comment last week, and I was thinking about that. The whole thing between Nate and Ray, it's an issue. It's like a duplicative character. Michelle, you said that, right?
Yes.
So I was thinking about that, but then I got to thinking, well, this is the CW. Maybe they're trying to pull off a supernatural vibe between the two.
Ah. Okay, so as someone who has watched Supernatural and who stopped once they killed Charlie, spoiler alert, sorry.
Aw.
You do have the analytical one that would be Sam books and everything. And Dean is the more emotional, let's go get it. So it's possible.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think that's the vibe that they're going for. We'll keep it in our minds as we watch from now on, because I do agree they're almost the same type of character. They got slightly different issues going on with each of them, but they're very similar to me. So we'll see how that progresses.
If they get in a shuttle and Ray always gets to drive and choose the radio station, then I'll give it to you, SP. I will totally give it to you.
I love that reference.
Are there radio stations in the time stream?
There must be.
They get serious.
Yeah, Gideon's a DJ, so there we go.
But that's not a radio station. That's like my iTunes library.
Close enough.
That's true.
I can ask Alexa to try to play that same...
You just triggered it, didn't you?
No, it's muted. I can. I mean, that's the thing. Although, I guess that's reaching back into the cloud somewhere versus on a storage disk here locally. So, that falls flat. Sorry, Alexa. All right. Let's move ahead to our favorite character, Mick Rory. He had a fun episode, didn't he, Chris?
He got to see his ninjas that he loved so much and be proven right, and even steal some ninja garb. What do you want to bet that's hanging in his closet still at the end of the episode?
Hope he washed it.
Well, I mean, he didn't wash it to put it on to go save people, so who knows? Mick's a weird dude. I don't know if cleanliness ranks high on his list of priorities, let's be honest.
I'm just thinking of the blood that's inside there.
Oh, that's the best part.
Yeah. It's authentic. Yeah, I see it actually lying in a corner in a pile with his dirty laundry. It's not hanging up.
I don't know. He might really like that. It could literally be hanging off the wall in his quarters so he can look back and be like, I love ninjas.
Yeah, and if you've ever seen his room, they do show his room this season. It's got a lot of stuff, so it's there.
Because he's a thief. Of course he's got a lot of stuff, including the mayonnaise. I bet you that's where the mayonnaise went, in his room.
Ew.
Ew.
But this does begin to set up an interesting friendship, and at least beginnings of a friendship between himself and Vixen. Skipping ahead a little bit, we see them become more and more acquainted with each other, get some inside jokes and things like that. And right now, she originally wants to kill him, and at the end of the episode, there's kind of a reconciliation of, yeah, you might be a criminal and a thug, but maybe you're not so bad because you wanted to save your crew. Plus, she gave him a sweet ninja star.
So I have to hand it to Vixen. She took the entire crew out at the beginning.
Yeah, I have a question about that, though.
Yeah, what's your question?
How did Gideon not know she's on the ship? Because Gideon's everywhere.
Maybe Gideon likes her.
Maybe.
I mean, she's used to competent people. This is not a competent group. She's like, oh, thank God, finally, somebody I can relate to.
Okay, I'll allow it.
What we didn't see, Chris, is that when Vixen triggered her totem, she actually triggered the mosquito totem, so...
I was going with the chameleon one personally, but...
Mosquito. Ugh.
SWAT. Yeah, that is something I had a question about. Or maybe Gideon was like, she had been on the ship before, and maybe she thought...
Once you're granted access, you're always granted access?
Maybe.
Mm. It's like the Arrow Cave. It's not like they have the best security. They forgot to arm Gideon. It's like your home security system. If you just walk into your house and you don't turn it on, it's not going to tell you.
I don't know. I think Gideon's smarter than that. I think Gideon has a little bit of self-preservation to her.
So that's maybe why, because Vixen had been on there and she's with the JSA and she has that reputation of being a hero, then maybe Gideon was like, oh, she's just back. She's a hero.
Perhaps. I don't know. Michelle, you got anything else that we haven't covered for this episode?
No, I think I'm pretty good.
All right. Neil?
I love ninjas. I'll just leave it at that.
Mick was great this episode. Chris, got anything?
Just ask Chuck Norris.
See? Mick was great this episode.
This was a fun episode, even though there were holes and everything into it. I think we can all admit, we saw Sarah with sword fights. Ray had his moments in the cell and everything. It was still a good, fun episode.
It was, definitely. Hey, Neil?
Yeah.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
Okay, but who are you is actually the title of next week's episode we're covering.
So the next
it was the Batman geeky jersey that threw you off, right?
It did.
What's going on? Yeah.
The next episode of Arrow, airing next week, January 25th, 2017, is Who Are You? And the summary is, worried that Prometheus may be right about him being a killer, Oliver finds a ray of hope in the apparent return of Laurel. Felicity swears revenge against Prometheus for causing Malone's death. Directed by Gregory Smith, with writers Ben Solowiski and Brian Ford Sullivan.
Can't wait to get Arrow back in the fold. We'll be returning to Legends of Tomorrow during the breaks because Arrow will go like 1 week and then have 3 weeks off. It'll go 2 weeks and then it'll have 2 weeks off. It's going to be like that until May for the season finale. So we'll be coming back to Legends of Tomorrow as we go forward in the off weeks. In the meantime, for this particular episode of Legends of Tomorrow, we run down the Easter eggs for DC pop culture references and stuff like that. And we normally take a comicbook.com article, which we do happen to have, that runs them down. And then we add or subtract depending on what we feel that we have seen that the comicbook.com folks didn't. But in this case, we'll start off with one of theirs, Citizen Steel. Chris, what do you got?
That's right. We talked about it a little bit last week as I frantically Googled and then broke the internet while doing so. But in the comics, Nate Haywood has powers that are, to this point, have never been depicted on screen. This time around, he got a version of Steel powers. As in the comics, it comes from Nazis trying to take out the JSA who inadvertently provide him with abilities.
And talked about this before, the trope of to be married tomorrow. The idea of the beautiful girl happens to be getting married. Also loosely translated as Royal Ugly Dude, because that is from Bill and Ted, and it's the most obvious reference. It's in also other things as well.
Also in this episode, we got a Lost reference. It really direct, actually. If I've learned one thing from Lost, it's that you don't go opening secret hatches. When the two halves of Firestorm were talking about that secret compartment that we've talked about, it's a not-so-subtle pop culture reference. We're acknowledging this more this year since last season. There's a lot of people that were saying that we missed things. So, yep, here you go. A blatant Lost reference.
Nice.
I never watched Lost, guys.
No, I haven't either. But I know a lot of people have, and it was iconic. And they show it in the gym, by the way. So I'm like watching it on silent de facto with closed captioning in the gym. It's really annoying. Anyway, another Easter egg in this was 2056. Yep, that's where Barry is right now, and I don't know too much about this, but it said that there are a few superheroes, notably The Flash and my buddy, the Green Lantern, which, by the way, last Saturday night, I watched the Green Lantern. Yep, I watched Deadpool / Green Lantern on the screen, and it was great. Blake Lively was in that movie, too. It was fun. Anyway, getting back to this episode, they don't really spend a lot of time in the not-too-distant future in their careers, but the year 2056 doesn't come up specifically in the comics. Where it does come up is in Young Justice, which is the animated series in which Barry Allen's grandson, Bart, who comes by a few names, Impulse, Kid Flash, or Flash, played a key role in that version of the story. Bart, not Bart Simpson, Bart Allen, comes from a future where the Reach has conquered Earth and travels back in time to join Young Justice, which in part could potentially help alter that dark future. I sense a Yesterday's Enterprise vibe going on there.
It is a nice little Easter egg to a great, great cartoon series. If you haven't seen Young Justice, go on Netflix, watch season 1 and 2 immediately before it returns for a third season. Do it. I strongly encourage it, but let's get back on topic here. One of the other Easter eggs, we touched on it briefly, Nate references Master Yoda. It's a great reference back to The Empire Strikes Back as he shares Yoda's mantra of do or do not, there is no try.
And then we have the Soul Taker, established by the end of the episode that the young woman Nate wanted to help was pretty capable of defending herself under normal circumstances. She's from the clan Yamashiro. And this is what we talked about how her descendants, eventually one of them marries Tatsu, who becomes Katana, and we're thinking that the sword that she gets at the end of the episode is the Soul Taker.
So let me ask you guys this. now that we're a bit removed, which version of Katana do you have in your minds for DC right now? Do you have the Suicide Squad Katana version, or do you have the Arrow Katana version in your mind, Michelle?
Arrow, because the Suicide Squad Katana had maybe 5 minutes and you barely knew her.
Neil?
Yeah, I got to say the exact same thing. The Arrow version is my Katana right now.
Chris?
Same here. They squandered her on Suicide Squad.
I agree with that. And I don't think we're going to get another version of that movie either, but it was fun to see on the screen. I think Michelle enjoyed it the most out of the rest of us. Right, Michelle?
Yeah, it seems like it.
So now we're going to get into some news. So from the news desk this week, we got a ton of news because these shows are starting back up next week. Neil, why don't you lead us off?
Well, Mark Guggenheim took to Twitter today to reveal the episode title coming up. 16th episode of Arrow's 5th season has gone in production. Mark Guggenheim shared the front cover of the script today, and the title is Checkmate. Now, he also took to the Twitters to confirm that he is not talking about the secret DC spy agency formerly run by Maxwell Lord or Amanda Waller, because he's gotten in trouble for that before, using titles that actually coincide with the DC universe and then not using any of those DC Easter eggs at all. So we've got Checkmate coming up.
Talking about Amanda Waller, saw her last weekend when I watched Green Lantern. Yes, there's a version of Amanda Waller in the Green Lantern. Chris, what do you got for us with the ghouls?
So this is pretty cool. We finally got our teaser for the proper introduction of Talia al Ghul. We found out that on February 1st, the Arrow episode entitled Second Chances will see Oliver Queen team up with Talia in flashbacks in order to defeat our favorite Russian, Kovar. Talia will take Oliver under her wing, and in his quest to take down Kovar, Oliver will get help from the surprising source, Talia al Ghul. However, when she reveals what she wants from him in exchange, Oliver isn't sure he can accept her help. I cannot wait. It's going to be really cool.
It definitely is, and there is going to be another cool thing happening. Neil, why don't you break down what Katrina Law, my favorite Hallmark Channel actor, had to say?
Well, as you know, Katrina Law has paid our favorite Agul so far, Nisa Agul. And CinemaBlend caught up with Katrina Law to discuss her role in the Training Day TV app adaptation that's on CBS, but also about possible Arrow roles going forward. And she said there's always talk about whether or not we're going to see an Agul team up. Whether or not those talks will ever come to fruition is another matter, but I would always love to have a reunion with Talia. I just think having the two sisters either fight side by side together or fight with each other would be epic either way. And then if we could do some sort of flashback with Ra's al Ghul coming in as well, let's petition to make that happen. So that's her quote. Now, the only thing that's caveated is she mentioned it's hard for her to get all the way up here to Vancouver with the schedule for Training Day. So there are some challenges, but come on, everyone, let's make that happen.
It would be awesome. Looking forward to it.
They just had to get a good actor to be Nissa, and she's in demand. Oh, gosh.
But speaking of things to be excited about, here's something else you guys can get really stoked for. It's come out now. There will be a Dolph Lundgren heavy episode of Arrow set mostly in Russian flashbacks later this season. We've all kind of been taken aback by how much we've enjoyed Dolph Lundgren joining the cast. Executive producer Mark Guggenheim told comicbook.com that he and the writers of the show are aware of the excitement fans have for both Lundgren and the Bratva flashbacks, as well as the additional social media attention on all things Russia just now, all of which makes this episode seem like a good way to fill in some backstory. According to Guggenheim, Russia is very much in the zeitgeist these days, and coming into the back half of the year, we'll do a lot more in Russia. We're going to do a Russia-centric episode, a flashback-centric episode like we did in the first 3 years of the show. We'll be doing that later on in the season, and that will have Dolph Lundgren's character Konstantin Kovar very much front and center. And please, 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 in this flash, make him say the line, I must break you.
Must break you.
If that happens, I think I'm going to hear the squee from Chris, like all the way, you know, it's going to span distance. We're just going to hear it all over the world.
It is going to be a squee. Yeah, that's for sure.
I'm not a huge Rocky fan, but you got to do it. You just have to do it.
I had Alexa play Gonna Fly Now before I left for work this morning. pump me up for work. It was awesome. And I didn't even think about this, but I'm ready for it. It's going to be great. And to talk about the rest of the season, Neil, what do you got from the trailer?
Well, just yesterday, we got the extended season 5 mid-season trailer, and it is awesome. There is a lot more Laurel in there. We actually see Black Siren blowing something up. I'm not going to spoil that. You should go see it yourself. Lots of battle. They're dealing with the issues that were left off at the mid-season, and they're teasing some of the complicated plot lines. And again, it really deals with the reemergence of Laurel. Remember, even though we know it's Black Siren, Ollie doesn't. So there's going to be some mind games coming up. And it ends the trailer with Wild Dog looking at the camera and saying, "This is getting good." And I have to agree.
It's getting good. It's good. They have resurrected Arrow from the dearths of the end of season 4. So looking forward to the rest of this season. We're going to transition into the general DC TV news now, not just Arrow. We're going to hit all the rest of the shows. And, we have an unexpected return in Flash, Neil, don't we?
We get Detective Pretty Boy back.
Yeah.
Yes. We get Central City Police Detective Eddie Thawne after actor Rick Cosnett announced that he is coming back to The Flash. How Eddie Thawne finds himself back in Star City remains to be seen, but with the renewal, I think it's pretty cool. I really liked Detective Eddie Thawne. It will complicate the relationship if he's the Earth 1, maybe the Earth 2, or heck, even Earth 3. We actually don't know where he's going to come from or how they're going to do it.
They got to get their clamps on that sometime, because the audience in general is going to be wondering, what is real and what is not? What world are they actually in? That sort of, it's a topic for another discussion later on. In the meantime, talking about disassociated universes, Michelle, what's going on over at Supergirl?
Well, we have a trailer that teases the return of Livewire and the Dominators. And so for the second half of season 2, with the Kevin Smith-directed Supergirl Lives, which sees Kara Danvers and Mon-El traveling to another world to break up an alien slaver's ring. The trailer also teases bigger events down the road. Long-running Superman villainess Livewire will make her return, and it looks as if greater emphasis will be placed on Jimmy Olsen's costume identity, Guardian. One of the things about Supergirl is that I saw in this, the trailer, is that it's Supergirl, it's Mon-El training to be a superhero, and then we have Guardian. I'm just really afraid that this is going to do what like Arrow and Flash is threatening to do and become too crowded. I hope that doesn't happen.
No, and that's even after losing Calista Flockhart too. So, yeah. I mean, she's still in the universe, but she's not a week-to-week actor. Matter of fact, we haven't seen her since the first episode. So, there is that. Hey, Chris, I think Mick Rory was running a little bit too hot this week. I mean, he was great and everything, but I don't think he can sustain that. What do you think you can do to cool him down?
Well, Wentworth Miller did talk a little bit about Captain Cold's return to Legends of Tomorrow. We all remember season 1 saw Captain Cold sacrifice himself heroically for the rest of the Legends. And it was teased all season, we're going to have Wentworth Miller return as Captain Cold. And in the mid-season finale of Legends of Tomorrow, that did indeed sort of happen. It was kind of a cop-out in my mind. But the rumors are flying around the Legion of Doom will be plucking Captain Cold out from the time stream to come and join them. Wentworth Miller was asked about it while he was discussing Prison Break at the Television Critics Association press tour. Here's what he had to say about that return. He hasn't gone on that first season of Legends Tomorrow journey yet, so when we meet him again, quote-unquote alive in 2017, I imagine he's going to be very much like when we first met him in the first season of The Flash, which I'm looking forward to, because it means I get to arc to a completely different place. Could be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be good to see him back on the screen. Really looking forward to that. Yeah, especially the whole Prison Break thing with Dominic Purcell and Wentworth Miller. So, Michelle, you also are delving into Justice League Dark this week, aren't you?
Yes, there's a new clip. And in this clip, Bruce Wayne is preparing to shave. And then he kind of has a moment. And then when he comes and realizes there's Constantine written in the mirror, and then he goes into his room and there's just Constantine everywhere. So that means, of course, Deadmond reaches out and seeking his help. And it's so good to talk about something with Constantine in it, and especially since we're going to get the Constantine series. So now every time Constantine's mentioned, I don't have that hole in my heart anymore.
And that's why I mentioned Constantine at the beginning of the show. And talking about somebody else who leaves a hole in Neil's heart when we talk about him, we're talking about that fanboy himself that just loves everything related to getting himself a new job. Yes, Kevin Smith is returning to Supergirl. Neil, tell us all about it.
Well, Vancouver loves Kevin Smith, and Kevin Smith loves Vancouver and Supergirl. And apparently, while he was filming Supergirl Lives, the producers started talking to him about his schedule. Ultimately, they offered him another gig. So he's coming back to Vancouver, back to Central City, Star City. He is going to be directing episode 17, which he described as sweet, saying that it was nice that the producers liked the job he was doing enough to bring him back. So that's pretty cool.
I guess. I got to hand it to him. He did a decent episode last year, so we'll see about his episode this year. All right, Neil, break down comic books and toy news for us.
No problem. So this week on New Comic Book Day, let's deal with some of the fun stuff first. We got Green Arrow issue number 15, which is part 4 of the Emerald Outlaw story. Now, if you haven't been reading this arc, it is awesome. But more importantly, I really encourage you to pick up this issue because the artwork is awesome. It was written by Benjamin Percy, but the pencils, inks, and colors are by Juan Ferreira with letters by Nate Picos of Blambot. It's a beautiful issue. Lots of great, unique spreads. In this issue, Green Arrow's relationship with Seattle's finest disintegrates when a new murderer seems to implicate him beyond a shadow of a doubt. Now, Ollie must find the real killer and prove his innocence while evading capture by the police and a dangerous new vigilante group. So definitely pick up Green Arrow issue number 15. But we also had some news this week. This week, DC Comics announced that it is raising its price from $2.99 to $3.99 on its monthly titles. Now, you might remember that when they kicked off the Rebirth initiative, every DC book, except for a couple, which are pretty much standouts, was set at $2.99. So now monthly books are going to be set at $3.99. So that's going to be Batgirl, Batgirl and the Birds of Prey, Batman Beyond, and a few others. Interestingly, they're going to drop All-Star Batman from $4.99 down to $3.99. But here's the kicker. You're now going to get digital codes with all your DC comics. So that's right. You can go and you can download the digital edition so you've got it as well. Now, I know what a lot of people do to subsidize buying extra comics is they do code trades and code shares. This was actually encouraged by Marvel when they first started to do it. There's no official position by DC on it, but it is a way. And Chris, you've always done something really selfless with your physical books once you have your digital code, haven't you?
That's right. In the past, I get all my books, I redeem the digital code, and I might leaf through the hardcover or the paper versions of them, but every few months I drop them off at Goodwill or one of the local libraries so that other people can have a chance to read them. And that's why I was kind of bummed with the move that Marvel's doing, where you no longer get digital copies with your books. You get one of three selected books. So I'm really excited to see DC pick this up and be like, okay, we'll make all you fans who are mad at Marvel happy with us by saying, yes, the price went up, but now you're getting a digital copy too. And you know what? I might give a few more DC books I didn't care as much about a chance now.
I really hope that's true, because some of these titles are not high sellers. And I'm a little concerned about some of them with a price increase that it's going to hurt their chances. I hope that doesn't happen.
That is the downside, Michelle. You're totally right. Comics like New Superman aren't selling great. I'm not sure how great the new Hellblazer is selling, but it's worth giving these books a shot. Also from DC this week, they had a leak, quote unquote. The new top secret free comic book day issues were revealed. And on May 6th, free comic book day, you're going to get a reprint issue of Greg Rucka and Nicholas Scott's Wonder Woman and a 32-page excerpt from the upcoming OGN DC Superhero Girls Summer Olympus by Shea Fontaine and Yancet Labatt. Now, if you have any young girls in your family, I really encourage, you know, turning them on to DC Superhero Girls as a way to get into the DC universe. I gave my three-year-old niece some of the toys for Christmas this year. I sat down, and just to make sure they were appropriate for kids, I watched all the free cartoons for DC Superhero Girls on YouTube. There's a great tag-along. There's two seasons of the cartoons free on YouTube. It is awesome. I can't wait to get this comic and give it to my niece.
Nice. I'll have to do the same with my girls and see. But they're like, they're in the older stuff. They're into the Supergirl, and they're into the Wonder Woman and that level of comic book hero at the moment. Matter of fact, when any trade comes in of any woman superhero, Marvel or DC, I got to grab them and give them to them. Otherwise, they'll find out about it and they'll really lay into me about not buying it for them. So it's great to get anybody into comics, especially little girls or big girls. Doesn't matter. So we're going to move on to some feedback right now. And I have a very special feedback section. We tweeted the fact that we had our last episode out, as we always do. It announces the episode. Well, we got a hit back from consultant Black Adam. He said, that's number 71 on my podcast list at the moment. I'll let you know when I get to it. I got to tell you, Black Adam, when you get to this, you got to, this needs to be your number one podcast every week. Absolutely. Because we deserve it. And because today, DC announced that you are getting your very own movie. That's right. The new DC line property Shazam has morphed into two pictures. Black Adam has proven vibrant enough to become its own film to star Dwayne Johnson, as reported by Deadline.com today. Originally, the plan was to have him play the character in Shazam, which is the tale of a teen boy who can transform himself into a superhero by speaking the words, Shazam! And there you go. Dwayne Johnson is going to be Black Adam. So, Black Adam, you now have competition for your namesake.
Sorry, The Rock probably wins. He's a badass.
Unless it's cheat day. Can you imagine him fighting on cheat day?
I thought Black Adam wasn't a hero.
He's an anti-hero.
He's a very bad dude.
Well, he was part of the Justice Society for a while. He was part of the JSA. But if you read the 52 event that took an entire year, Black Adam not only outright kills some villains to set a point, but he goes back to Kandak. And when there's a crisis and the people that killed ISIS take refuge in the neighboring country, he goes in and kills everyone, women, children, innocents. He kills everyone. It's described as effectively a genocide. It's going to be tough for people who know him in the comics to really accept that he's an anti-hero.
Yeah, because he's just a bad, bad dude.
Unless they're going to go with the not-so-bad version because it's The Rock. And The Rock has done a really good job of forming a certain image. I mean, he's selling Baywatch and a redo Jumanji. So seeing him commit genocide on the screen, I don't think it's going to fit his billion-dollar image.
Do you know what? I would love to see The Rock play just an evil, evil supervillain. How fun would that be?
To make a point, before he kind of said, listen, you guys are way too soft on criminals, and this is how my country deals with them, he flew up into the air with a supervillain and tore him in half in front of the cameras to say, this is how you should deal with villains.
Wicked.
That could make for an intense movie.
I love the Black Adam.
On that cheery note.
Yeah, on that pleasant note, I guess it's that time of the show where we like to remind you guys that the Starling Tribune is in fact part of a network. It's called the Gunna Geek Network. You can head on over to GunnaGeekNetwork.com and check out all of the other awesome podcasts that make up the network. And each week, though, we do try to highlight one specific episode of a show on the network. This week, I want to talk to you guys about Gallifrey Public Radio. The latest episode is entitled The Metaphysical Engine, or What Quill Did. This week, Jay and Haley try to comprehend the alternate planes presented in the Seventh Class episode, The Metaphysical Engine, or What Quill Did. It's the flip side of the goings-on while the students were in detention, and we try to figure out who got the short end of the stick on those outings. Oh,
and Jay misses a critical detail on this episode's final moments that changes damn near everything for him. That'll teach him to check text messages while viewing. So if you're a Doctor Who fan, make sure you go check out Gallifrey Public Radio over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. It is the official Doctor Who podcast of the network.
.com.
So a big thank you to everyone who did watch the show live here on Geeks.live and did participate in the chat room. Additionally, thank you to everyone who listened live on Spreaker, who might be watching a replay on YouTube or listening to the downloaded episode at a later date.
If you are in the chat room, like Steven, like Suncast, like everybody else that's dropped by, just remind your friends you can watch us live and take part in this geeky funness Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern on Geeks.live. I just want to say a special thanks to our video editor, Chris, who will be putting out a video podcast this week, and all the fans of the show. Thank you very much. We had our best year ever in 2016.
You can watch the next live show on the Gunnery Network over on Geeks.live. The next live show on the network is Better Podcasting, Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Please give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Like us on Facebook and YouTube and badger us on Twitter.
And you can find all of our contact information on the Gunna Geek Network at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. Check out our forums and all of our other shows. If you want to share your thoughts, head on over to our Facebook page, send in a tweet, or you can actually even call us at 1-612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283, and leave us a voicemail, and we'll make sure to try to play it on the show. Guys, another fantastic episode of Legends of Tomorrow. I am pumped to jump back into Arrow next week, though. So that about wraps it up for another week and for another hiatus. Any last words before we sign off and open up the chat? At Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag Ninja Sarah only needs one control stick.
At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag Souvenir Ninja Star.
At Michelle Ely.
Hashtag I want to see The Rock rip a supervillain in half.
And I am at Neil Isn't Witty, signing off with hashtag There's only one katana. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at Incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.